This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester from the Cooking Without Looking TV show. I'm the creator and executive producer, and we're here today with Ben Fox on our podcast. Ben, welcome.
Thanks, Renee. Hey, Renee. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm getting a little bit hungry. I decided I would eat lunch after this podcast, so I could be thinking about it during the podcast. Cooking without looking, after all.
That's right. It's not eating while cheating.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your blindness journey. How did this all happen?
I would love to. Just to start out with, I wanted to take a moment and say, I love what you're doing in the community. And for me, when I first started having significant blindness challenges, it was the kitchen on the road, and in the kitchen is where it showed up the most. I loved to cook, and I was extremely stubborn, and I refused to use any extra tools in the kitchen. I kept burning myself, and I cut my fingers, et cetera, et cetera. And when I was really actually sad about it. And when I finally went and got blindness skills training, it changed my entire life to get trained in the kitchen. I'm back in the kitchen. I love cooking pizzas, and I'm looking forward to sharing a recipe with you later today, by the way, too.
That's really amazing. That's wonderful. So tell us, told me a little earlier about your t-shirt, Almost Blind. Tell us what that's all about.
I will. Can I start out telling you about the Blind Dance Film Festival?
Yes, of course.
It was kind of born out of the Almost Blind journey. Almost Blind is where it all started. Picking up the white cane, frankly, then led to Almost Blind. And ultimately, like, getting the word out about the spectrum of blindness and what it means to be almost blind, and our journeys towards, you know, eventual total blindness. And that led to the Blind Dance Film Festival. So the Blind Dance Film Festival is the first film festival by the blind for the world. Anybody who's blind that's involved in a film in any way, whether it's a short film, even like a 30-second commercial, if you're an actor in front of the camera, if you are a cameraman or woman behind the camera, if you are a producer, director, holding the boom mic, working on lighting, working on sound engineering, working on editing, hey, congratulations, you're a filmmaker. And so our motto is white canes, cameras, action, guide dogs, welcome too. And my own personal philosophy is, if you are going blind or if you're blind, you absolutely for sure have a unique story that the world does want to hear, for sure. And if you have a cell phone in your pocket, that means you have a camera. So if you have a camera and a story and 5 minutes, you can absolutely be a filmmaker. And with that being said, I challenge anybody out there, pull out your cell phone, point it at yourself, press record, share your story. Get creative if you want to. Get technical with your creations if you want to. But share your story in 5 minutes or less and submit it to the Blind Dance Film Festival, blinddance.org. We'd love to see what you're coming up with. We'd love to share your story with the world. And lastly on that, our mission is to normalize success in the workplace, help people that are out there in the world through entertainment learn what we're capable of, that we are able, regardless of how our eyes work. And we're really excited to normalize words like reasonable accommodation. And obviously, as we're making our films and showing what we're up to in the world, people out in the world will see the tools, the actual physical accommodations that we take with us to help us thrive in the workplace and at home and at play. So we're excited to share our stories. And finally, I'll tell you, we've been out on the Goodyear blimp filming people that are blind, talking about cool stuff that are up in the world up above the sky. It's awesome. We've been flying in helicopters with the door off with the Visual Experience Foundation. Shout out Michael Benson. We've been surfing while blind. We had GoPros attached to surfboards. We're catching people that are blind, 50 surfers that are blind. These are just documentary films we've made. And we have a series called the Working While Blind series, where we're going into people's workplaces and showing what they're up to. Super cool. Super cool. We just got back from the Palm Springs Guide Dogs the Desert, where we interviewed Ryan Fox, who is the blind magician and is the student liaison at Guide Dogs the Desert. really great opportunities for people out there that are blind, and we love to show what they're up to.
It's so cool. I've just got this visual of the door on the plane open and shooting things. That's just like, oh my God.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm about to go again with Michael Benson and the Visual Experience Foundation. And they're like the Make the Wish Foundation for people that are transitioning to blindness. They partner somebody transitioning to blindness with somebody that's a veteran person in the blindness community, and they take them on adventures. And this next one that we're doing is we're going to go to Niagara Falls with the doors off.
Oh,
and
wow.
People will feel the mist. You'll feel that mist come in as that helicopter's hovering there. Yeah. Imagine being told, hey, you're going blind. You're legally blind now. Prepare. And the doctor's telling you this. And you're like, what? And within a couple months of that happening, you're getting to meet you, Renee, somebody who's been in the blindness community on a helicopter.
Boy.
It's just like, hey, blindness is fun, guys. I mean, I know it's like interesting and everything, but it's fun. Let's go. It's an adventure. Different mindset entirely.
It's
and you
nothing.
Do that for people in the kitchen. You're taking people on taste adventures and literal adventures in the kitchen. They're blind. They're like, whoa, I'm cooking? I didn't think I could do this. You're like, surprise. Yes. And doesn't it taste good?
Well, that's
thank you for looking
that sounds amazing. Well, you know what? That happens a lot. In the very beginning, there was this one lady, and she was like in her 70s, and she had cooked all of her life, but she went blind like 6 months before she came to our show. And when she came to our show, she saw one of the gentlemen. He thought he was grabbing for a white cloth, but he really stuck his hand in a big bowl of whipped cream.
Oh.
And she,
you
know, it was just sort of funny, and he laughed it off. You know, that's you have to have sense of humor, which I can tell you do. But she said to me, she pulled me aside. She goes, you know, I haven't cooked for 7 months since I went blind. But now, if he can make a mistake in the kitchen, I'm going to go back into the kitchen and try again. So that just was. And so a lot of times we'll take outtakes. We haven't done that recently, but we'll take outtakes just so people can sort of like laugh and know, hey, we all make mistakes.
That's a beautiful story. And I got to tell you, there's people, personal feeling I'll share. And I imagine that lady that you just shared it might have felt this way because it just kind of popped in my mind. There's a sense of freedom that comes from knowing you can make your favorite meal. There's a sense of joy that comes from sharing those meals. There's a nourishment that comes from sharing those meals that has nothing to do with the food you ate, it's the people you ate it with. And lastly, I'll say, in the past, I thought I'd lost that. You know, I thought I'd lost that opportunity to get to plan out those meals, to enjoy making them, sticking my hand in the whipped cream and then bringing it, you know, wash my hand again and get a different bowl of whipped cream.
Oh, no, first you have to lick it off. You have to lick the whipped cream.
They call it cooking while no one's looking then, huh?
That's right.
That's so funny. You know, but it's a beautiful experience, you know, and when you're helping people, and this is to all the folks out there, TVIs and different folks that do the teaching especially, there's a sense of freedom and celebration that absolutely comes from training in the kitchen to cook without looking. Period, the end.
That's a wonderful way of putting it. Hey, tell me the story that you told me earlier about how you came up with Almost Blind.
Ooh, that's the origin story for like me just becoming a dude on a mission.
The origin story.
Yeah. I was a guy in a class learning how to use a white cane and that those types of instructional things and groups, you know, getting back to work with, you know, learning to cook in the kitchen. I was just going through that. Just, you know, I'm going to go back to work in the news field, I thought. And maybe, hey, I had a dream I can get back to filmmaking. Maybe. But at this time, when this story came up, I was just going out for the first time ever independently by myself with my white cane, like with no TVI, no instructional, educational person with me. And I was challenged to go on the public transit and come and report in class the next day. So everybody, I went. I tried it, right? Hey, let's go. Super cool. I got my white cane and the world is open again. I was, you know, I was getting myself charged up. Let's go. I mean, I was actually kind of nervous. But So there I am on the light rail in Phoenix, Arizona. Not for my family, so I'm shout out Arizona. And I have my light cane, and it was rush hour. And I'm just going to go ahead and go meet my friend. We're going to have some dinner. And I'm going downtown. I get on the train. It's standing room only. There's nowhere to sit. And there's a very nice man. And when everything's said and done, he's just still a very nice man. He says, go ahead and have my seat. And he's sitting in the disabled seating where there's the blue sign with the indication that that's where people are supposed to sit if you have a disability. So he insists that I sit there, and he and his friends stand up, and they go stand across from me, and they crowd into this little area. I'm thinking nothing of it. I'm having the greatest time. Like, wow, people are so nice. I got my white cane. Here we go. I get a text message. I'm meeting my friend. I take out my phone. I check the text message. And then I hear, not so quietly, these people across the way going, shut up, what? They're kind of doing this super loud whisper, and that loud whisper, it becomes a thing that's like going up and down the train car. Like, that guy's pretending to be blind. And I'm like, I saw him wearing his phone. Yeah, he's not blind. I saw him looking over here. He was looking at me. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Nobody here knows about legal blindness. Nobody here knows about retinal astigmatosa, of course. Nobody on this train is sticking up and saying, well, you know, there's a spectrum of blindness. If he's probably just learning how to use his white cane, and he's probably early in the blindness journey. No, nothing like that. It's just like I have enough vision through my tunnel. I'm seeing people looking at me in not a nice way. And by the way, to anybody that might have been on the train, I appreciate the fact that you were looking at somebody you thought, whatever you thought, but you were sticking up for people that are blind. I get that. But I'm blind. But I was also able to see their looks. So I got up off that train, the very next stop, immediately. And I called an Uber. I go home. And it wasn't an educational moment, by the way, at that moment. And I want to just go ahead and say, you know, people have asked me about, why didn't you educate them right then there? Oh, my heart was just beating so fast. And I am I'm not trying to be like macho, and I know it's not about, you know, feminine or masculine or anything like that. It's just being an able-bodied adult that's trying to go on a train without crying in public. That's all that was for me at that moment. Education was right in my mind. I was trying to get home, call my mom, you know, and eat some ice cream. So, but here's the deal. On the way home, I remembered thinking to myself in the Uber, I'm like, I'm just back there trying not to cry for the Uber driver now. And by the way, I am a tough guy. I never cry. Just joking. But going blind, hey, it's emotional sometimes. And sure. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm remembering different things that I was learning in training center for the blind. And they're telling us like 7 out of 10 of us are not going to go back to work once we pick up that white cane. And then I remembered thinking about the 3 out of 10 of us that are at work. Only one of us is going to report that we enjoy the work that we do, like truly actually feel fulfilled and look forward to it. And then I read other statistics about like things that people encounter in the workplace. And I started thinking about things that I've heard, frankly, that people say that are employed that are like, I'm just lucky to be employed. I'm grateful. I don't want to, you know, cause any problems. I don't want to rock the boat. And then I thought about, well, my background is in marketing and media. I went into print journalism when they told me that I couldn't make films when I was 18 years old. I was a Sundance filmmaker, by the way, before I had these attached retinas. And
oh, wow.
Finding out the thin retinas, I had attached retinas because they're so thin, and that's due to retinal astigmatosa. I gave up on filmmaking when I was 18 because I lost faith because people around me couldn't understand. Like, well, how can you make films if you're going blind? I'm like, oh, I just cannot explain it. All this is going through my mind. And I had this brief flash. I thought, wow, what if I just had a big shirt that just said big, almost blind.org? What if I had a hat that said almost blind.org? What if I could put a sticker on my camera that said almost blind.org? Because people do come up and ask me when I'm walking around with my white cane and a tripod and a nice camera, and I set that up, and they're like, oh my gosh, this blind guy is walking around with a camera. Pardon me, I know it's people that are blind, but I'm just saying. So I point at the sticker and I go, well, yeah, well, there's a spectrum of blindness and I absolutely love. I can look through this lens on my camera and I can enhance my vision and I can actually see so much better looking through this camera. It's actually incredible. I'm like, huh, and I go, check out the website. So I give these shirts away for free. I give the hats away for free. I have had some business people in our blindness community come and try to partner with me and sell them for really expensive prices. And I'm just like, listen, I'm really actually just trying to survive and thrive as a person who's blind with integrity in the blindness community. And so far, the best I can do is just give them out for free. The best I can do. And I print some up every once in a while. I hand them out to people I know personally, and ask for them, people email me. And I have a vision of people walking around, and I do have some coffee mugs that say almostblind.org. So
my cool.
parents would just walk around with a cup of coffee in the office, and I would bump into somebody, and they'd go, "What, are you blind?" And again, I'm like, oh my gosh, dagger to my heart. Oh, because yes, I am. Thank you. But I'm almost blind.
Oh my God.
So now I just go, almostblind.org on my coffee mug, you know, and I have that printed on these really, they're like hard to knock over. They're heavy on the bottom. They call them the tumbler proof coffee mug. And it's these little things to raise awareness. And it's not, oh, I'm going blind. I'm so sad. It's not like that. It's,
right, almost blind.
If we run into each other, I'm like, hey, happy to meet you. Pardon me on the bump, but I'm almost blind. Check out the website if you have any questions. And people do.
You know, it's so funny because people are funny. These people thought you were pretending to be blind. I've been doing this for 21 years. I have yet to meet a person that pretended they were blind. People have asked me, how do you know they're blind? Maybe they just want to be on the TV show. And it's like, you know, I have never met a person who wanted to be blind that badly. You know, it's just, if people are funny when they don't understand something, they can only understand from where they're coming from. And they don't understand beyond that.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about that. You know, why would anybody really want to even get involved and say, hey, you know, I have opinion about your blindness or about you having a white cane. And it's interesting in this day and age, though, but I don't know. There's everybody's kind of coming from where they're coming from. Some people that I've met in the blindness community get really heavy on thinking about fate, you know, and maybe it's part of their acceptance process. I'm actually one of those people, just so you know. I'm kind of like, wow, this is a meant to be type of thing for me. I watched my grandfather go blind. I love him very much. He taught me to, you know, kind of have some acceptance about it. And I got to tell you, I kind of feel like when we go out as people that are blind and people meet us, this is my personal opinion, it opens up an opportunity in everybody's life to spend a few minutes with somebody that's differently abled. For me, as a person who's blind, I have now encountered different people in the disability community, if you will, or abled, extra abled, or choose your word.
Right,
and
right.
Some of those people are deaf. Some of them are in a wheelchair. And it opens up my world in a way that I just am always surprised by, to spend 3 hours with somebody that's fully deaf. I have a friend that's deaf and blind, and I talk to his translator. I don't know anything about the translators at all. But I spend just as much time with them as I do my friend that's deaf and blind. I know a lot about them. We hang out. Opens up my world. Opens up my world every time in a beautiful way. I'm so grateful for. So I personally, when I walk around, I have that philosophy. And I'll tell you why, is that I like to be out in the world doing cool stuff. And sometimes I need extra help, like at the airport. And there's been times that I'm 240 pounds. I'm 6'3", a big guy, you know. And there have been people that are smaller in size that have to push me in a wheelchair because the airport's so crowded and they have a policy that they have to push me. I can't walk behind them and hold their arm. And I'm like, can I just get out while we're going up the hill? I don't know if that happens to you, Renee, at the airport, if they put you in a wheelchair. It's only happened a few times where they've required me to. Lots of times they let me just walk behind and take an arm. But
that's
if it's real busy and we're in a hurry.
I didn't realize that they had to do that to you.
Sometimes. It's only happened a couple of times where they required it. But yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're traveling alone. If you're traveling alone, you'll have much time between gates. And it's kind of up to their discretion. Okay. You got to hustle for this airport. Put me in the wheelchair. Let's go. I'm like, whoa. And there's a whole thing, though. That opens up the world for me and them. We have this interesting experience. Other people that see that. It's out of the normal. And people do look and go like, huh, that's interesting. You know,
this little person, tall person in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Hey, so tell me, what recipe do you have for us today, Ben?
Ooh, boy, it's my favorite one. Okay, so this is so simple. It's so simple. And it took me until I was 30 years old to actually know how to cook pizza dough at home. Now, Renee, I know I'm talking to somebody that's got a great pizza recipe, though, right? You definitely have your own, I'm sure.
Do I have what?
A pizza dough recipe, homemade pizza dough.
No, you know what? I usually have to go look for it, or else I have one of those little bags of, a little sacks of pizza recipe flour. So, no, but go for it.
Wow. Okay. I'm so surprised. So for me, this changed everything for me in the kitchen forever, because, I got to tell you, I lived in Tokyo, Japan for 2 years. And while I was over there, if you wanted to order a pizza, it was eating foreign food. It was like going to eat Thai food here. It was expensive. It was just one of the more expensive things to do. And I used to eat pizza 3 or 4 times a week. I lived over there in my early 20s. And so, long story short, towards the end of my stay, and right when I was actually getting back and I got into making pizzas myself, I learned how inexpensive, easy, and delicious it is to go ahead and take a 5-pound bag of flour. I'll give you the recipe right now. And this is so fun for people that are blind, by the way, having your own pizza party at home, picking your own toppings. It's so easy. Imagine how easy it is to open a bag of mozzarella cheese, to open up a little bag of mushrooms. You don't even have to chop stuff. If you want some pineapple, you can get, oh man, I like to put spinach on there. It's like you get your topping bar out. And I like to throw parties for people that are blind or visually impaired. And this is what I do because it makes it so fun. I get these little personal pan, like size things out. Oh my gosh, people have the time of their lives. Everybody wash your hands. You can even hand out little topping cups in 2-ounce cups. And it goes, I want to have olives, pineapples, and I don't know, chicken, diced chicken. You hand them like 2-3 little 2-ounce cups. They don't even have to worry about touching other people's stuff. It's COVID-proof. I don't know about proof, but you know.
COVID-proof.
So here it is. Here's the recipe. It's my very favorite. By the way, you can do this and let the dough rise in like 3 hours with this instant yeast I'm about to tell you about. So,
wow.
You get a 5-pound bag of flour. Okay? You're just going to use half of that. You want the 5-pound bag instead of the 2-pound bag because you're going to need a little bit of extra flour. So you're going to take 2.5 pounds of flour, half the bag. You're going to put it in a big bowl, right? And now you leave that bowl on the side. In a small bowl, like in a cereal bowl, you're going to go ahead and take 1 cup of water. You're going to take out an instant yeast, right? There's different types of brands. There's Fisher. There's Red Star, right? Instant yeast. I might have those names wrong, but just go ahead. Some instant yeast. It doesn't matter what kind. And they come in little individual packets. They usually come in 3 in a little strip. You just want 1 packet. So now you take the 1 cup of water, the pack of instant yeast, 1 teaspoon of salt or to taste. Start out with a teaspoon because you can put a lot extra in there, but you want to start out with a teaspoon of salt. Now this is also to taste. I always put a teaspoon of white sugar or a teaspoon of brown sugar. You could go ahead and put up to like 2 tablespoons and it would just make it a little bit sweeter, all right? Finally, and that's all in this small bowl. I'm gonna say the ingredients again. Small bowl, cup of water, teaspoon of salt, all right? You get the teaspoon of white sugar and the 1 pack of instant yeast. Now finally, you're gonna go ahead and mix that all together for, it doesn't need to stand for very long, it's the instant yeast. And you put that slowly into the flour and you mix it in. I use a fork, all sorts of, I'm a bachelor, so you just kind of use forks for everything, but all sorts of different things. You can use a KitchenAid if you want, that's actually the very best way, but to start it out, you slowly pour that cup of water in there. Next, this is very important, and it's again to taste. I put in a tablespoon of oil. You could probably put 2 tablespoons easily or even a little bit more. It's going to make your dough softer. It's not going to be as crusty or as flaky, if you would. It's just going to be softer and a little bit more spongy, tiny bit more spongy. Now, once you put that water in there, it's still going to have a lot of extra dough, flour around the dough that's starting to stick. You're going to put 3 more cups of water in there. You might put up to 4 more cups of water, total of 5 cups of water. It's really going to depend on a couple facets. Now, I don't know, we don't want to have too much water in there, but here's the deal. Total of 4 cups of water. My bad.
Okay.
Total of 4 cups of water. All together. Total of 4 cups. Now, that's why you have the extra dough to the side, the extra flour to the side, part of me. Because no matter what, you can add extra flour to that and even it out. So at the end of that, you want that dough, right? You're going to be kneading that with your hands. You need all that water in those hands. You want all of that dough to really have all the flour absorbed into it to where you don't see any white flour outside of the doughy mix. And also, you want it to be able to, like, you can literally punch it, like, pop, 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 and it'll make this, like flat, like, pop, 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 noise when you punch it and kind of, like, just move it around. You need that all together. I don't know how to describe that with the cooking words that I need.
No, but you pretty much, you described it well.
Yeah, you want it to be able to, like, have a little bit of firmness, right, when you put pressure into it. And then finally, you're going to let that sit. You're going to put it back in the bowl. It's going to take you a good 15 minutes to mess around with that dough and, you know, rolling it out and, you know, folding it into it. There you go. Folding it into itself. Hey, cooking term. Yeah. And then after that, you're going to put it back into the bowl and you're going to cover it with a white cloth. You might, you know, go ahead and put a little bit of flour around it for various reasons so it doesn't dry out and get crusty on the edges. It's a smart idea to put a little bit of flour around it. Not a ton. Again, you're going to have to fold that flour into the dough. And then you're going to let that sit for 3 hours. It's going to rise. And what I just told you about, you're going to be able to make 3 or 4 large pieces from it, or like 10 individual pieces. It's crazy how much dough you'll have. Amazing.
Oh my God. You'll have enough dough for a whole city.
I don't know about a whole city. 3 of my friends, we can eat 4 large pizzas pretty easy at a pizza party.
Oh my God, now that's a pizza party.
It is. We have so much fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. It really does. And you know, yesterday was National Pizza Day.
Oh my gosh. How did I not know that? I should have been making pizzas last night. That's what we're having for dinner tonight.
Pizza. Every day is National Pizza Day around here, so... You know, so Ben, it's been really great talking to you. Tell our audience how they can reach out to you.
Absolutely. Please visit us at www.blinddance.org. We have a contact page there. You can submit your blind dance films because our film festival is in October. Come out to Tallahassee, Florida, or join us virtually in October for our film festival. And also, we have a white cane commercial contest running. The white cane commercial contest. If you're blind or visually impaired, or even just a fan of the community, you want to make a commercial talking about what the white cane means to you, we'll have that running on national TV this upcoming year for White Cane Day, and we will send you $1,000 prize for making that amazing commercial.
Wow, that sounds like... That sounds like it's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Ben. It's been a lot of fun talking to you today.
Great talking to you, Renee. And again, thank you for all the work that you've been doing in this community for just, you know, you're a pillar in the community, especially when it comes to cooking. People know who you are and appreciate your work.
Wow. Oh my God. You just gave me chills. Thank you so much. I'm so humbled.
It's true. Renee, it's true. Like, literally, when I very first was going to learn in the kitchen, people were telling me about you and showing me your show. Years ago. So good work.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, if anyone wants to reach out to us, we're at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. You can also go to our Cooking Without Looking YouTube channels and see our shows. And we're available. Our podcast is available on all Alexa-enabled devices and anywhere you get your podcast. So thank you again, Ben. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye, Renee. Talk to you.
Bye, Ben.
Bye-bye.